Live all across the United States and Canada and around the world, we're on the air because truth matters. This is the Bible Answer Man broadcast, hosted by Hank Hanegraaff. Hank is president of the Christian Research Institute. At CRI, we desire to equip you to defend the Bible and historic Christianity because truth matters. To join us on air to ask Hank a question, call 888-ASK-HANK, which translates to 888-275-4265. And now, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And before we go to our callers, I want to draw attention to a booklet that I have put together that I want to send to you when you support the ministry of the Christian Research Institute this month. Of all the billions of people who have lived on this planet, only Jesus Christ could emerge through the doorway of biblical prophecy. And that's why I've titled this booklet, Jesus the Superstar of Biblical Prophecy. And I've given you the prophecies in such a way that you can remember them. All the detail is in the booklet, but you can remember the prophecies because they're identified with the first seven letters of the alphabet. His ancestry, A, was marked thousands of years prior to his birth. His birthplace, B, the birthplace in Bethlehem, was likewise foretold. The circumstances surrounding his death prophesied in minute detail before crucifixion was ever invented. The D, date of visitation, predicted within a historically narrow time frame. I want to come back to that in just a moment. An extraordinary miracle worker, the E, who would F, fulfill the law and the prophets, and a light to the Gentiles, G, so that salvation would go out to the ends of the earth. The prophecies concerning him are simply so precise that the probabilities of someone fulfilling them by chance simply do not exist. As mentioned, I want to focus for just a moment on this date setting, because the Bible, in fact, does some date setting. It sets the date of Christ's coming onto the stage of human history in relatively narrow date parameters. Today, however, there are false date setters. In fact, I would say that date setting is the bane of modern-day controversialists. Harold Camping now has 11 days before the date of his prophesied Day of Judgment. His headline has been ominous to quite a multitude of people. It says, "The end of the world is almost here. Holy God will bring judgment on May 21st, 2011. And then he says, "God has given us in advance the exact time of the Day of Judgment." The Bible tells us, Amos 3:7, "Surely the Lord God will do nothing but he revealeth his secret unto his servants, the prophets." Because this year, 2011 AD, is exactly 7,000 years after 4,990 BC when the flood began, he says, the Bible has given us absolute proof that the year 2011 is the end of the world. In the end, Harold Camping assures his devotees that a remnant of 200 million of them will be raptured, May 21st, 2011. And he adds that if you do not believe him, you're not going to be raptured. And if you're not raptured, you're not saved. Not only, however, does Harold Camping not know the date of Noah's flood, which of course gets his calculations off on the wrong foot, But a cursory reading of 2 Peter 3 is enough to persuade biblically literate people that God does not intend to communicate that a day is equal to 1,000 years. In reality, no one knows the time of Christ's return. No one knows the end of the world. Pretend prophets continue to tell people what their itching ears want to hear, but true prophets spoke as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. I think it's utterly ironic that Camping cites Amos 3:7 in vindication of his claim. Amos could rightly say, "The Lord God will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto his servants, the prophets." Why? Because he was a true prophet of God. And therefore, he rightly told God's people what the future held in store. Unlike Camping, who attempts through esoteric numerology to calculate the exact date of the rapture and the precise date of Christ's first advent, the prophets provided date parameters, which in concert with ancestry, birthplace, crucifixion prophecies, and the like, pinpoint Jesus as the prophesied Messiah. And rather than casting aspersions on the Scriptures, they demonstrate that God has indeed inspired the sacred text. In the span of human history, the time frame set by such prophecies is narrow indeed. Christ would not come prior to the last oracle spoken by the prophet Malachi, nor could he be born after the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem. His advent would not occur prior to the last prophecy concerning his coming. He would be preceded by John, who would come in the spirit and power of Elijah, and he would come prior to the destruction of the Jerusalem temple. The prophet Haggai made this equally plain in prophesying the coming of Christ would cause the glory of the second temple to surpass the glories of the first. I've written about this and so much more in the booklet, Jesus, the Superstar of Biblical Prophecy. It is available right now for your gift to the ongoing ministry of the Christian Research Institute. So please send your gift today to touch the lives of more men, women, and children, just as your life has been touched. And again, don't forget to request your copy of Jesus, the Superstar of Biblical Prophecy, my newest offering, now available. Check it out on the World Wide Web at equip.org. You can write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Or as always, pick up the phone, talk to Resource Consultants, 888-7000-CRI. Let's go to the phone lines, talk to Connie in Palmdale, California. Hi, Connie.
Hey, Hank. How are you?
I'm well, thank you.
Oh, you know, I've listened to you guys for probably 25, almost 30 years. And you're the only person I could think to call. Because I know you tell the absolute truth, and I am having a real hard time finding a true Bible teaching, scripture believing, honest church.
Yeah. Well,
what do I do?
Yeah. And Connie, here's the deal. You need to know what you're looking for. He who aims at nothing invariably hits it. In other words, the idea is not to shoot the arrow at the wall and draw the bullseye around where it lands. It is to determine where the bullseye is to begin with. And I think in this case, what you want to do is look for a church that is committed to the true worship of God through prayer, praise, and the proclamation of the Word.
Mm-hmm.
You want to look for a church that genuinely exemplifies the oneness of believers as delineated by the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 12. And then thirdly, you want a church that's equipping you so that you can be a witness to the world. So I think those are the three basic ingredients that you want to look for. Now, churches do this differently. There are churches that have one kind of ecclesiology and churches that have another. And what I mean by that is there are some churches that don't have a pastor-laity dichotomy. In other words, when the people get together, everybody's involved in prayer, praise, and the proclamation of the word. So they prepare during the week, and then they prophesy what they have prepared, not in the sense of foretelling the future, but rather in the sense of forthtelling the word that the Spirit has given to them to edify the body. There are some churches who have a pastor who prepares during the week to teach the body of Christ. But the real issue here becomes we want to worship God in spirit and in truth through prayer and through praise and through the proclamation of the word so that what is communicated corresponds to the reality that God has encapsulated in his word. So again, you want to look for a church that genuinely worships, that genuinely exemplifies oneness, and that equips the body for witness. You can remember that by WOW. Worship, oneness, and witness. That's really what you're aiming at.
This is what I'm running into. It seems, you know, on the surface. Then you start hearing the undertow. That isn't really biblical. The scripture is being misquoted. It's being taken out of context. You know, I've literally walked out of more churches than most people have walked into. And, well, you know, there are these, maybe I'm too nitpicky, I don't know.
Well, and maybe you are, actually.
I'm filled with the Holy Spirit and I've never spoken in tongues.
Yeah. Well, but here's a good point. That's a classic case in point. That's an issue that you can debate vigorously, but it's not an issue over which you have to leave a church, which is to say that it's a secondary issue. The essentials are the main and the plain things. Trust me, I can't remember a church service in many years where I haven't had some small point of disagreement after the pastor has spoken or after people have prophesied. But that isn't a point of division because it's a secondary issue. Where we have to stand shoulder to shoulder is on essential Christian doctrines. Those are the doctrines for which the martyrs shed their blood. So an essential's unity, non-essential's liberty, and all things charity.
Okay.
That help?
That's been very helpful. Okay. Very much so.
Well, Connie, I appreciate
your
call.
Thank you so much, and God bless you.
God bless you.
Still on the air.
Thank you, Connie. I want to go back to the phone lines, talk to Zuleika, listening on the web in Bronx, New York. Hi, Zuleika.
Hello.
How are you?
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine.
Okay, my question, well, actually the situation that's going on is that I've just been a Christian for like 5 months, so I just started you know, starting the Bible and everything and getting to know God. So I'm new in church, but like at the beginning I was feeling comfortable like with everything that they were saying, but now I'm kind of confused because my pastor, he believes that Jesus is God. I mean, I know Jesus is God, but he believes that Jesus is the Father. Like, he doesn't divide the Father and the Son.
Yeah.
And I want to find a way to explain to him that, well, I don't believe that Jesus is the Father. I know the Father is the Father and Jesus is Jesus. And both of them, they is only one God. But, like, I don't know. I'm confused. Can you help me?
Yeah, I can.
In a simple way, because my English is not so good.
Well, you're doing fine, actually, Zuleika. I'm understanding you loud and clear. But, look, this is an error that's very prevalent in what's called oneness Pentecostalism, not to be confused with Pentecostalism in general. But it's the belief that you have to be baptized only in the name of Jesus, and that has led the oneness Pentecostals to the further error that Jesus is himself the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So they don't hold to one God revealed in three persons who are eternally distinct, but to three manifestations of one God revealed in Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And they actually think that the doctrine of the Trinity is pagan polytheistic philosophy. But actually, their theology is driven by philosophy more than it is by biblical theology, because they're trying to represent God in a way to which they can relate, and therefore their paradigm is philosophically driven. Our paradigm is biblically driven. The Bible teaches that there's only one God. The Bible teaches that the Father is God. The Bible teaches the Son is God. The Bible teaches the Holy Spirit is God. And the Bible teaches that Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are eternally distinct, such that Jesus never becomes the Father. Or properly put, the Father never becomes the Son. So there are eternal self-distinctions within the Godhead. Now, I don't fully comprehend that, as I've said many times on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, but I do apprehend it in Scripture. And there's no logical contradiction there, because when we talk about the one God, we're talking about the nature of God. When we talk about the three persons, we're talking about the identity formed and completed on the basis of relationships within the Godhead.
Probing today's religious movements, promoting doctrinal discernment and critical thinking, and providing reasons for faith and ethics, the Christian Research Journal is an award-winning magazine that no Christian should be without. Be prepared with the knowledge you need to defend the faith. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. Stay tuned. The Bible Answer Man will be right back. From Genesis to Revelation, the entire New King James Bible is performed in dramatic audio theater by over 500 actors, including Richard Dreyfuss, John Voight, Kimberly Williams Paisley, Michael York, and Jim Caviezel as Jesus.
But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom.
With feature film quality sound design and original score composed and conducted by Stefano Minetti, the Word of Promise audio Bible transports the listener back in time. When Moses led the children of Israel, Daniel was thrown into the lion's den, and when Jesus walked here on earth. Order the Word of Promise audio Bible on CD or MP3 CD by calling 888-7000-CRI or online at equip.org.
Some teachers outside the church proclaim we are God.
I'm just curious, where does God come into the whole secret?
Good question.
Yeah, God is all of us.
Other teachers inside churches proclaim that we are God.
If dogs get together, they produce what? If cats get together, they produce what? But if the Godhead gets together, what are they producing?
Well, who is God? Are we God? Everyday people make significant life and death, health and financial decisions based on faulty information about who God is and what He promises. And that is precisely why Hank Hanegraaff has written Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century. Thousands have been helped out of the faith movement by the Christian Research Institute, but many more must be rescued. To get your copy of Hank's Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century, call 888-7000-CRI or log on to our secure website at www.equip.org.
Many people throughout history have declared themselves the Messiah. So how can we be sure that Jesus is in fact the one and only Messiah? In Hank Hanegraaff's newest booklet, Jesus, the Superstar of Biblical Prophecy, Hank gives seven memorable points of messianic identification that leave no doubt Jesus is the one. As the pieces of a jigsaw puzzle fit together perfectly to reveal a clear picture, so when we study messianic prophecy in the Old Testament, we see clearly the one and only face to emerge, the face of Jesus Christ. As our way of saying thank you for your generous support, we'll send you Jesus, the Superstar of Biblical Prophecy, to give you the assurance that no one but Jesus Christ could walk through the doorway of Old Testament prophecy. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org.
Christian Research Institute is a ministry dedicated to defending the historic Christian faith through the Bible Answer Man broadcast, the Christian Research Journal, and our website, equip.org. But to continue this vital mission, we depend on your faithful, prayerful support. If you see the life-changing impact this ministry is having, please join with us on a consistent monthly basis so that we can continue to equip believers with the tools to stand firm in their faith and reach around the world with the transforming power of the gospel. To partner with us on a monthly basis, call 888-7000-274 or go online to equip.org. And now, here's the host of the Bible Answer Man, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and let's go right back to our phone callers. Talk next to John. He's listening in Atlanta, Georgia. Hi, John.
Hey, Hank. Thank you so much for all that you're doing. I downloaded all your podcasts, and God, they are awesome.
Oh, thank you.
Hey, I had a friend suggest that I read Battlefield of the Mind by Joyce Meyer, and then I checked out in some other stuff, like The Problem with Me is Probably My Mouth. There's a book like that. And then I heard on one of your podcasts you're talking about Joyce Meyer and Joel Osteen. Like, I don't know, what's wrong with those guys? They seem like they're nice Christian people.
Well, let me give you an example. And this comes from Joel Osteen. I'll play a little clip. And as I play this, I want you to think along with me about what he is saying so that together we can unravel the truth from the error.
Those words are like seeds. That is your faith being released. When God hears that, he says to the angels, do you hear what she's saying? She's speaking faith. Angels, I have an assignment for you. Go down there and begin to turn the situation around. That's what it says in Romans 4:17. We have to call the things that are not as if they already are. That means you may not feel well, but you should not go around saying, oh, my back's been hurting me for years. I'm getting so old. I don't think I'm ever going to get better. No, you just spoke defeat into your future. Turn it around. Have a report of victory. I may not feel up to par, but I know it's only temporary. God is restoring health unto me. I'm getting stronger, healthier, younger. My best days are still up ahead. You're going to get what you call in.
Well, apart from the fact that he says, I'm getting stronger, healthier, younger, that's obviously ridiculous, but that's a minor point. The major point, and by the way, I can attest to that. A caller just a few moments ago in the first segment was talking about the fact that she'd been listening to me for 25 years, or 30 years, I think she said. Well, look, 30 years ago, I was healthier, stronger and younger than I am today. Trust me, that's a fact. But that's a minor point. The major point here that I want you to think through with me is that Joel Osteen is using a biblical text. And this is a classic case where we have to test all things in light of Scripture and hold fast to that, which is good. What did he say? He said, it says in Romans 4:17, we have to call the things that are not as if they already are. So once again, he says, we have to call the things that are not as if they already are. And he uses that as the biblical pretext for his teaching on health and wealth. Well, if you go to the Bible, you'll find out that the Bible says nothing of the sort, as Joel Osteen must surely know. The Bible does not say in Romans 4:17 that we are to call things that are not as though they already are. That very passage communicates, and very clearly, that it is the God who gives life, not we, who calls things that are not as though they were. So here he takes a text, he spins it, talk about the spin zone, he spins it to say precisely the opposite of what it really says, and then uses it as a pretext for his prosperity message. And this is the problem. Now, I can't judge his motives. One would think that he has read Romans 4:17, if he's quoting it and therefore knows that that is not what the text really says, but nonetheless, whether he knows it or doesn't know it, whether he's ignorant or informed, I cannot say, but what I can say is the text definitely doesn't say what he says it says. It says the opposite.
So when he talks about people criticize his dad because his dad read the Bible a new way and was kicked out of the church. So Joel Osteen is similarly pulling out of the Bible things which aren't really true to fulfill our want to be financially secure and successful. So is that the deal?
Yeah. No, I mean, that's exactly the deal. And I think it's a very dangerous thing because he says the moment you speak something out, you give birth to it. By the way, this is ditto for Joyce Meyer. The moment you speak something out, you give birth to it. And then he says this is a spiritual principle, and it works whether what you were saying is good or bad, positive or negative, which is precisely what he just said in this clip as well. Now, the reality is his words sound good, but they have a dark underbelly. Because the moment you find out from the doctor you have cancer, or you get the phone call that one of your kids has died, God forbid, now if you have been a devotee of Joyce Meyer or Joel Osteen, you're going to wonder whether your words caused that reality in your life. Because in that viewpoint, we are attracting everything to ourselves. There is no exception. The words we speak create the reality we experience. And again, that is precisely what Joel Osteen is saying. So people hear it, it sounds good until you have problems. Until
so that's a form of superstition. It's you know, it's sort of like, oh, you know, there's a book out called Have a Nice Day, and this lady talked about these cancer victims that really had to have, like, what did I attract? How do I attract this cancer? Was I not positive enough? These poor people are miserable because they think that they did something or they said something or they weren't positive enough in their life to get this cancer. When in reality, I guess, Hank, you believe this, sometimes bad things happen to good people.
Well, absolutely. And we live in a fallen world, which is to say that Christianity is not designed to give us a comfortable way to come to terms with the difficulties of life.
Just ask Paul.
Yeah.
How's your day going? I just got stoned, man.
Exactly. Yeah, it gives us something far better. It gives us a way to overcome the difficulties of life through the hope of resurrection. But you're absolutely right. I mean, if you look at the great saints, not only biblical saints, but saints that lived in the first century or saints that live in the 21st century in China, you find that they suffer. I was just with a man a few weeks ago in Fujian province in China, and he had been in prison for 24 years. And there wasn't a bit of rancor. There wasn't any self-pity. He was set aside according to what he said was the Lord's sovereign arrangement. So he looked forward with eternal eyes to a time that he would spend where there's no more death, mourning, crying, or pain, and certainly no more arduous prison life that he experienced for 24 years. Reality does not match up to what Joel Osteen or Joyce Meyer say. It simply does not. And I'm not just talking about their prosperity message. I'm talking about their message on all kinds of different levels. For example, when Joyce Meyer talks about Jesus Christ, she talks about a Jesus Christ that is completely foreign to the Bible. She talks about a Jesus Christ that had to go to hell. In fact, she overtly says there is no hope of anyone going to heaven unless they believe this truth, the truth that I am presenting. You cannot go to heaven unless you believe with all your heart, not just believe, but with all your heart that Jesus took your place in hell. Now, in her view, Jesus did not finish the work of atonement on the cross. He finished the work of atonement in hell. So when Jesus said that it is finished, tetelestai, secular, koine Greek, the debt is paid in full, Joyce Meyer says, no, Jesus, you're not done yet. You have to suffer under Satan in hell. You have to take our place in hell. And unless you believe that, you're not saved. You can't even go to heaven.
Yeah, that's not right. Well, Hank, so instead of Battlefield of the Mind, because I'm trying to strengthen my mind against Satan, or I want to have, I want my mind, I want the mind of Jesus. And I got the book from your website, The Covering. Is that the book that I should be reading? Also, is that the one that would fulfill what I'm looking for?
Well, The Covering has to do with Ephesians 6, 10 through 20. So it has to do with the full armor of God. And the point of the book is that if you learn to appropriate the full armor of God, you're invincible in spiritual warfare. If you do not, you're a guaranteed casualty. So we need to learn what it means to put on the belt of truth, or the breastplate of righteousness, to don the helmet of salvation, to take up the shield of faith so that we can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. We not only need to know the words, but we need to know what they represent and how to appropriate them in our daily lives. And that's what The Covering is about. It also exposes false paradigms with respect to spiritual warfare, where people are overestimating the power of Satan. The danger is on both sides of the equation. You can overestimate the power of Satan and underestimate the power of God, or you can underestimate the power of Satan. The biblical text lets us know at the very beginning about the power of God, and the power of God trumps the power of Satan. That's why we need to know how to put on the full armor of God and recognize that as believers, Satan can harass us, but he can't possess us. If we put on the full armor of God, we can prevail in the battle of the mind.
Great. That's what I want to do. Hank, thank you so much for your ministry. I tell you, you have helped me so. I listened to the Cliff Notes on the Bible because I really wanted to get a good basis of the entire Bible, and it was so bad compared to the great stuff that you have. So thank you so much for your ministry.
Well, thank you, John. You've been an encouragement to me. I appreciate your call so much.
God bless you.
God bless you as well. And a couple of books that I just referred to. One is The Covering. It's an important book. I wrote it right after I wrote a book on prayer called The Prayer of Jesus. And it is the second in the two series books. It's probably not a good way to say that. It's the second in the series. The first was The Prayer of Jesus. The second is The Covering. The first dealt with the power of prayer and how we are to view prayer, because so often we see prayer as just a laundry list of requests, and before our knees have ever hit the ground, we're already thinking about rushing back into our frenzied lifestyle. We treat God no better than we treat our cherished relationships. The second was The Covering, God's Plan to Protect You from Evil. Both books are available. You can check them out on the World Wide Web at equip.org. Also, when I was talking about Joyce Meyer and Joel Osteen, all the information, the quotes, what they teach in context, you can actually see the references, so you can pick up any tape and find out that I'm telling you what they say in context. I'm not taking them out of context. I'm teaching you how to discern truth from error, so that you can be so familiar with the truth that when counterfeits, no matter how good they sound, loom on the horizon, you know it instantaneously. Christianity in Crisis, likewise, is available. You can check it out on the World Wide Web at equip.org. We'll be right back with a lot of interesting questions right around the corner, so please don't touch that dial.
Get connected with the Christian Research Institute. Just go to equip.org and click on the Get Connected tab and sign up for our weekly e-newsletter. When you receive our e-newsletter, you'll be informed of special discounts, well-researched articles, videos, featured resources, and everything you need to keep you up to date with all that the Christian Research Institute has to offer. So get connected today. Again, just go to equip.org. That's equip.org and click on the Get Connected tab. The Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff will return in just a moment.
Thank you.
The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition by Hank Hanegraaff is the culmination of over 20 years of faithful study and answering questions on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. With short, succinct answers to over 170 questions that stumble seekers and galvanize skeptics against the historic Christian faith, the Complete Bible Answer Book will give you confidence in what you believe and why you believe it. Written in Hank's concise, three-point, easy-to-memorize fashion, the Complete Bible Answer Book is an essential tool for the beginner as well as the seasoned apologist. Consider it your one-stop Christian apologetics handbook. When you become a Bible Answer Man support team member, we'll send you the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition as our way of saying thank you. Order for yourself, a friend, or get a personalized copy when you call 888-7000-CRI. Or go online to equip.org.
We have assembled for the first time ever some of the great luminaries of the evidence for Christ in the world. These people have been assembled for one purpose, and that is to present the case for Christ to you. And in the end, it's your responsibility, your opportunity to come to your own conclusion in the case for Christ.
Based on Lee Strobel's best-selling book, The Case for Christ is now on DVD. One skeptical journalist.
I thought the idea of an all-powerful creator of the universe was just an absurd idea.
Investigates the most important story in history. Lee Strobel and biblical scholars explore the evidence for the life of Jesus.
Now it would require more faith for me to maintain my atheism than to become a follower of Jesus Christ. Investigate the evidence for yourself.
The Case for Christ. Look for it on DVD.
Order this DVD and the entire Lee Strobel 3-disc film collection by calling 888-7000-274 or online at equip.org.
Now more than ever, today's believer who wants to stay informed needs to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. Here's what you'll find in the current issue of the Christian Research Journal.
The debate between human freedom and determinism has been raging for centuries. Gain a biblical perspective on human nature in John S. Hammett's article entitled Between Radical Freedom and Total Determinism. The information age has many benefits, but it also has a dark side, information overload. Learn how to navigate through cyberspace with James Patrick Holding's article, The Mesmerizing Misinformation Maelstrom. Other topics include problems with the gold plates of the Book of Mormon, the legacy of G.K. Chesterton and Dorothy Sayers, Jesus, the begotten Son of the Father, and much more, as well as the insightful Ask Hank column.
Call CRI and start your subscription today, 888-7000-CRI, or go online to equip.org.
As the pieces of a jigsaw puzzle fit together perfectly to reveal a clear picture, so when we study messianic prophecy in the Old Testament, we see clearly the one and only face to emerge, the face of Jesus Christ. Hank Hanegraaff's latest booklet, Jesus, the Superstar of Biblical Prophecy, places major Old Testament prophecies about Christ right at your fingertips, ready to deepen your own understanding and help you to share the truth persuasively with anyone who asks. As our way of saying thank you for your generous support this month, we'll send you Jesus, the Superstar of Biblical Prophecy, to equip you to know why you believe Jesus is the Messiah. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Once again, here's the president of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and I was so blessed by John from Atlanta. So often I get under the pile. It seems that the radio bills come in. They just pour into the organization like water sometimes through a leaky roof. And the funds sometimes are scarce. We don't ever do anything to be politically correct or popular. We just tell it like it is. And sometimes, in the proverbial sense, it's not good for business. But after all, this is not about business. This is about ministry. It's about touching the lives of people for time and for eternity. So I simply ask you, if you love the Ring of Truth, if you appreciate the fact that we do what we do because truth matters, nothing more, nothing less, please stand with us in a calling that is changing lives. And not just changing lives in America, it's touching literally hundreds and there's no hyperbole here, hundreds of thousands of people in Asia today as well. And it's because people like you love this ministry and take a step of faith and join the monthly Bible Answer Man support team. When you join, I send you the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition as my way of saying thank you. And I even personalize it. And this is not bait to get you to give, but it is a way of equipping you. And it is also a way of saying thank you. Your monthly giving really makes a difference. It makes a difference in the lives of people for time and for eternity. I continue to do what I do because truth matters. Quite frankly, I love what I do. I feel so blessed to have an opportunity to touch lives. Thankful and grateful to God that He gives me this opportunity. I don't take it for granted, and I do need you to stand with me. Again, you can do that on the World Wide Web at equip.org. When you write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, and as always, when you talk to our resource consultants, 888-7000 CRI. Let's go to Charlie next, listening on Sirius XM 131 in Alabama. Hi, Charlie.
Hey, Hank. I've been holding for a good bit. I listen to your program a great deal, and down I am blind. And what I want to ask, in Matthew's Gospel in the 7th chapter, Jesus makes this statement, do not throw the dogs what is sacred, and do not cast your pearls among swine. What does that mean?
Yeah, that's a really good question, Charlie. And one of the things you may want to refer to is what happened in Acts chapter 18 when Silas and Timothy come from Macedonia. And Paul devotes himself exclusively to preaching and testifying to the Jews that Jesus was the Christ.
Right.
But when the Jews opposed Paul and became abusive, he shook out his clothes in protest and he said to them, "Your blood be on your own heads. I am clear of my responsibility from now on.
Right.
I will go to the Gentiles." So, in essence, this is an example of what is meant when Jesus says, do not give dogs what is sacred, do not throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they may trample them under their feet and then turn and tear you to pieces.
Right.
Now, unclean animals, pigs ate vile food. Dogs were scavengers. They would bite the hand that feeds them, and therefore this was a metaphor communicating that you can't talk anyone into the kingdom. Thus, you should preach to those whose hearts are prepared by the Spirit of God. And what I mean by that is you can't harvest green fruit. You can only harvest what God prepares. That's why I always say, I don't do what I do by might or power, but by God's Spirit, because I can't do anything. Only the Holy Spirit can change a heart. So I can harvest what God prepares, but I can't do more than that.
All right. I see, in essence, Jesus is saying, is this, if you talk to someone and they don't buy into the gospel and everything, like Paul and them does, it's just, in other words, just shake it off and just go on. Or just leave it to the Holy Spirit then.
Yeah, absolutely, Charlie. And one thing you have just demonstrated is though your physical eyes can't see, your spiritual eyes certainly can see. So you're definitely sighted from a spiritual perspective.
All right. Thank you, Hank. That gave me a lot of encouragement, just what you said right then, the last of it. And I want to say God bless you, and I hope you have a golden, golden afternoon.
Thank you, Charlie. You as well. Appreciate talking to you. It's a delight. Want to go back to the phone lines now and talk to Francine, listening on Sirius XM 131 in Atlanta, Georgia. Hi, Francine.
Hey, Hank. Thanks for taking my call.
You got it.
You know, I've been a Christian for a lot of years, and when I sin at the end of the day, when I pray, I confess my sins. Recently, I heard someone in a study say that once you're forgiven, you are forgiven for all time, and you do not have to confess your sin ever to God again. I have not found a verse that supports that, and I was hoping if there is such a verse, you could provide that for me. But I don't line up with that thinking.
Well, I'm glad you don't, because it's stinking thinking. I mean, it's sort of like me saying to my wife, I told you I loved you when I married you. Don't ask me to say it again. Or, you know what, I'm going to tell you one time, honey, and that is, I'm sorry for anything I might do wrong throughout the duration of the decades of our marriage, but don't ever ask me to say it again. I mean, obviously, that wouldn't fly very well. And I think from a spiritual perspective, the same thing is true. We want to keep short accounts with our Lord. And the Bible is very clear in 1 John, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. And then says John, but if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. And if we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word has no place in our lives. Now, the point here is, yes, it is true that positionally we are accounted as righteous before God. We are covered with the righteousness of Jesus Christ. That is true. But we are yet sinners, and therefore we have to actively, daily confess our sins. Jesus taught us that very thing. Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. Now, I know what the rejoinder is. It is by people who teach the false teaching in this regard. They say, well, you know, that's old covenant stuff. That's gone away. So when Jesus taught his disciples to pray the Lord's Prayer, that's the old covenant stuff. It no longer applies to us today. And that is an insidious lie. Not only that, but James 5:16 says, therefore, confess your sins. And confess there is a present active subjunctive, which means it's a grammatical construction which denotes continuing action, such as keep on confessing. So you have an epistle that I start out with that's specifically written to believers, and in essence is communicating that while our sins cannot damage our relationship with God, they cannot certainly destroy our fellowship with God, or put another way, our sin does not break our union with God, but our sin certainly can break our communion with God.
Well, Hank, you know, Hank, earlier you talked about the sin zone, where you take a verse and you take it out of context, and that's exactly what was done when I sat in on this study. And the premise there was, well, once you're saved and you do confess your sin, and that all those verses that you mentioned, even down to the Lord's Prayer, was a command to you, if you will, to come clean before the Lord once and for all and give your life to Christ. Not that it's a continuous daily exercise. And I feel that those verses dealing with confessing sin in the Bible, in this case, were used to support this concept that this person was trying to get off on everyone. And it's, like I said, I don't line up with that. So,
well, I'm glad you don't. And this is why you have to test all things in light of Scripture and hold fast to that which is good. When Jesus said to his disciples, this then is how you should pray,
right,
I think the idea that you would have in clear common sense is that Jesus is giving his disciples a pattern, a template for praying. So every phrase is meaningful, and sometimes the meaning of the phrase isn't self-evident at first blush. But if you look at it closely, and I wrote a book about this, The Prayer of Jesus, you look at it closely, every single precept of that prayer is powerful. It's poignant. It has deep and abiding meaning. And you just can't say, well, that's old covenant, doesn't apply to us today, as though you can rip that out of your Bible because that applied to another epoch of time, has no meaning today. In fact, what we should do is recognize that certainly there are types and shadows in the Old Testament that are abrogated in the New Testament, but this is not one of them, and there's no indication that it could be. First of all, it's not Old Testament, it's New Testament. It's not Old Covenant, it's New Covenant. And there's not a qualitative difference between the Old and the New Covenant, except for the fact that the blood of Jesus Christ is better than the blood of bulls and goats. And therefore, there's no need to offer bulls and goats when the ultimate sacrificial lamb has come. So temple, priest, and sacrifice are abrogated because the ultimate sacrificial lamb has come. But that does not mean that the teachings of the ultimate sacrificial lamb are old covenant and need to be abrogated as well.
Thank you so much, and God bless you and your ministry, and I enjoy listening to you every day at this time while I'm driving home from work.
Well, thank you, Francine. And
have a good day.
You too. I think I'm going to have to, probably root really hard for the Hawks tonight. I think the Hawks are playing the Bulls. I mean, I want to root for Derrick Rose. He's the MVP, but I get so many nice calls from Atlanta, I feel really constrained to root for the Hawks tonight. Just made enemies with my audience in Chicago. But anyway, hey, thank you so much for tuning in to today's edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Monday through Friday at this time, your questions answered on air. My apologies to all you who continue hanging on. I won't be able to get to you today. Perhaps tomorrow I'll stay in the studio for an extra hour once we go off the air. Today I've got to sign off. I've got some other things pressing. But thanks again for tuning in. Thank you for your support. Thank you for your prayers. Without you, we wouldn't be able to touch lives. So thanks for being a team member. If you're not yet, check it out at equip.org. So long for now.
You've been listening to The Bible Answer Man with Hank Hanegraaff. To hear more of The Bible Answer Man or to listen to archived broadcasts, just log on to equip.org. Equip.org is a fountain of information and resources designed to help you defend the faith and grow in your knowledge of the truth. To talk to a resource consultant by phone, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or you can write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is furnished by the Christian Research Institute. We're on the air because truth matters.
Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Joe in Columbia, Missouri. Hi, Joe.
Hi, and thanks for taking my call.
My pleasure.
You've always appreciated the thoughtful, biblically-based answers you hear from Hank on The Bible Answer Man. Now you can benefit from Hank's input and instruction in your personal quiet times through the Legacy Study Bible. Hank Hanegraaff has assembled what could be the most helpful Bible you've ever read. Each book of the Bible begins with an introduction written by Hank, which means for each book you'll learn its L-E-G-A-C-Y. Or location, essence, genre, author, context, and years. The entire Bible is crafted so that you can document your legacy of faith.
It's like including Hank in your Bible studies.
Order the Legacy Study Bible, edited by Hank Hanegraaff, by calling 888-7000-CRI or online at equip.org. Don't forget to ask about the personalized edition. Again, that's equip.org. Many people throughout history have declared themselves the Messiah. So how can we be sure that Jesus is in fact the one and only Messiah? In Hank Hanegraaff's newest booklet, Jesus, the Superstar of Biblical Prophecy, Hank gives seven memorable points of messianic identification that leave no doubt Jesus is the one. As the pieces of a jigsaw puzzle fit together perfectly to reveal a clear picture, so when we study messianic prophecy in the Old Testament, we see clearly the one and only face to emerge, the face of Jesus Christ. As our way of saying thank you for your generous support, we'll send you Jesus, the Superstar of Biblical Prophecy, to give you the assurance that no one but Jesus Christ could walk through the doorway of Old Testament prophecy. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org.